Is it a burden that we carry his law? Great peace have they which love thy law. Hallelujah. And nothing shall offend them. I want you, as soon as I read that scripture, this video came to mind. And you have to see it. Please don't take it seriously. It's satire.
Are you outraged by something you've seen on the internet? Are you tired of typing out those long Facebook rants only to minimal response? Introducing Get Offended, the new app that helps you let the world know that your feelings have been hurt on the internet. Oscar nominations, Confederate flags, Beyonce Super Bowl halftime performance. Our revolutionary technology provides icons on all your social media timelines, allowing you to get instantly offended at the push of a button. Don't let another zoo gorilla situation go by without letting the world know that you have a strong opinion. It's easy. Simply enter your ethnicity, religion, and political party, and we'll tailor content to help you get offended. Starbucks cups and gender bathrooms. Finally, no more thinking for yourself or forming your own opinions. Just get online and get angry. Politically inclined? Well, the old days of educating yourself and voting in elections are over. Just get online and start screaming. Custom alerts even help you get offended while remaining completely uninformed. So from the makers of Change Your Profile Photo to make you feel like you've made a difference, comes Get Offended. See a YouTube video that you don't think is funny? What are you going to do, stop watching and move on with your day? Well, now you can take any humorous situation and instantly ruin it with Get Offended. So whether it's a lion being shot in Africa or a Muslim kid with a clock, don't miss your chance to get offended today about an issue you didn't even know existed yesterday. Get Offended, helping you let the opinions of strangers on the internet determine your quality of life. Now available in the App Store and Google Play.
All right. Praise God. And nothing shall offend them. Love is law. Praise God. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Oh, my goodness. What a world we live in. God's peace, our focus thought, God's peace keeps our hearts and minds secure. Secure in this troubled world. Every little point that we chuckle about on there, people are getting hot and upset and angry and offended by all of these little situations. The peace of God will keep our hearts and our minds secure no matter what is going on in this world. Amen. So easy to get wrapped up into all of the goings on social media and the regurgitated news. Everybody is doing the same story and saying it the same way, using the same catchphrases and the same wording, so that everybody is getting fed the same line of trash that they're trying to promote, and so that everybody is getting, depending on whatever side you're on, because there's a news for everybody, praise God, no matter whatever side of a situation you're on, there is news for you, and it's going to make you feel better or make you get offended or get you a little upset about a certain situation that's going on in the world. That is not the point of us being here. God has more for us than just being bothered by what's on the news or what's going on around us in the world. It seems as if every day we hear about another natural disaster, another mass shooting, some heinous crime. Surrounded by so much negativity, we often find ourselves worried about our own safety and security. How can we rest in God's peace under these circumstances? How can we find rest when the world around us is just full of chaos? It is important to remember that God's peace transcends our present reality. Our peace is founded on the belief that God is able to work all things together for our good. We must not allow the turmoil around us to make us call God's sovereignty into question. He's either God or he's not. There's no in between. Is he all powerful or does he have just a little bit of power? That's not an option. He is all powerful. He is sovereign. He is in control of everything, or he's in control of nothing. That is the God that we serve. He wants to be first, not second. He wants to be first and not last. But he'd rather hot or cold rather than lukewarm. But God is sovereign and he is in complete control. And if we put our faith and our trust in him, we can have peace because we know without a doubt that God is in control of everything. God's word does not promise us that life will always be easy. Do I have a witness? Anybody, can you attest to that? God has not promised you a bed of roses and all of the fixings in life and all of the good times without the bad times and all of the mountaintop experiences without the valleys. God has not promised us that. If you're in this just for the mountaintop experience, you will not last. Guess what? There's no food on top of a mountain. God puts us through the valley so that we can be nourished and strengthened and understand that he is in control no matter what level or how high up the mountain or how low down in the valley we become. God is still sovereign and in control. Amen. God did promise peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The resurrection reminds us that the Lord has overcome death in Christ. There is no reason for us to fear death. We are completely secure in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he can overcome it, if he overcame it, then we have no fear of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, could you give me some examples of places that you find peaceful or situations that you would find peaceful in this life? The ocean. I know I could never live in the middle of the country. I like the ocean. I like water. Absolutely love. Grew up in Nova Scotia on the East Coast and was not too far away from. There was a brook in the backyard and a river at the end of the cul-de-sac and an ocean. Coal Harbor was right there, clam beds and beaches and all that. There's something about living next to the ocean, peaceful. What other situations in life or places that you would like to go to bring tranquility and peace into your life? The woods, as long as it's not at dark or 30 below. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Any other situations in life? There's something about going home to a family, that you haven't seen in a long time. There is, even if it's chaotic around you, there's just peace in being around your, at least for the first day. After that, it gets a little crazy, but go ahead, Sister Annette. The sound of rain. Yeah. I like the rain up here. I was not so pleased with the rain in Texas. Felt like the roof was coming in. Praise God. But a nice, quiet, gentle rain. There is on a tin roof. Incredible. Situations that we find peaceful. Some people enjoy just sitting with a book. I take the book out, but I do enjoy the sitting and the cup of coffee and maybe studying or just whatever I'm scrolling through, or even just playing a little mindless game on the iPad or something of the sort. Just sitting and enjoying it. I've enjoyed the last little while, for some reason, Sunday morning, I've just been getting up early. I don't know if it's the fact that I can't sleep or I'm just getting up early. I'm enjoying just going out and having a cup of coffee and sitting down and knowing that I'm not being rushed out the door. It's very peaceful just to get up and no one else is awake other than AJ, and he's playing music in the, well, he's in the shower, praise God. But it's very peaceful and quiet. To be satisfying, a story must contain a conflict that the author works to resolve. Do you enjoy a good conflict in a story that you're reading? It's interesting how characters in a book are able to get out of that situation, or the way the author brings it around to where they can find some kind of resolution to the problem that they find. If there was no problems in a book, it probably wouldn't be very interesting. Right? How do you develop a person's character in writing without there being some kind of a struggle that they go through? And so it makes it interesting. People in a state of unrest naturally seek rest. All right? People that are living in chaos prefer to find order at some point. In the creation narrative, God was portrayed as establishing order on the earth. In a peaceful Garden of Eden. Unfortunately, sin has introduced disorder into our relationships with God and each other. Typically, we think of sin as destroying relationship between us and God, but we see it a lot where sin destroys not just their relationship with God, but it actually tears them apart from family and friends. Sin destroys relationships across the board. In spite of our best efforts, the peace that we crave often eludes our grasp, but we are not doomed to live in chaos, thank the Lord. As Christians, we possess God's Word, which teaches us how to order our lives. Order my steps in your word. Order my steps. Psalms 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In addition, peace is listed as one of the qualities the Spirit brings to our lives, and we are also encouraged to pursue after peace. The Hebrew word shalom, often translated peace in the Old Testament, can also carry the idea of wholeness or completeness. When shalom is said to you, it is about peace, but it is also about your well-being, about your wholeness, your completeness, that you would be whole, that you would be complete. God desires for us to be at peace. But this entails more than simply and not being in conflict. It's more than that. It's not the opposite of conflict. Peace also involves living up to the potential God designed humans to fulfill. It includes both inner tranquility and positive action to maintain peace in our relationships with others. We are at peace when we worship God with our whole heart. We are at peace when we love our neighbors genuinely. We are at peace when we work to establish God's justice in this world. We are at peace. This world is looking for what you and I have today. If you have peace in your heart, this world is looking for peace. We have something to combat and to help us and to strengthen us when we are bombarded by 24-hour-a-day news. and social media. We have God living inside of us, strengthening us and giving us peace through all of these situations that come up in life. Just imagine for a moment not having God's help and trying to deal with everything that you are bombarded with in this life. Every pressure, every financial strain, every family issue that comes up that tears you apart and breaks your heart, all of these things in life. Could you imagine trying to deal with these things without God? Without God's peace in the midst of every storm? I can't imagine what it would be like to try to live without God helping me and strengthening me in every situation. One does not have to look far to see that countless people in the world lack peace. Wars are being waged throughout our world, and there is no indication this reality will change in the near future. Rich and powerful people continue to oppress those that are under their control. Families continue to be disrupted and destroyed by selfish choices and misplaced priorities. Politicians continue to trumpet their solutions to our problems, but their proposals ring false and hollow. The truth is that despite all their valiant efforts, humans will never be able to find peace apart from a right relationship with their Creator. Amen. Amen. There is no peace outside of God. Outside of God. When we contemplate the future, we often have more questions than answers. But what about this God? If I take this direction, I'm forgetting about that direction, and there were some things that I wanted to do that direction, but we end up finding ourselves just questioning and having more questions than answers in our life when we think about our future at times. Will we have enough money to retire? Will our children serve God faithfully? Will we survive this struggle with this sickness or with this cancer? Our concerns are certainly legitimate. However, like the disciples, we are often asking the wrong question. We'll get into the rest of the lesson text here. The disciples were asking the wrong questions, but Jesus had a way of redirecting them and getting them back on track. Uncertainty about the future will always be a part of the human condition. Yet there is a way to live in peace. Come what may, we must place our confidence in God's goodness and His ability to ensure that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. I imagine right now you could think of some things in your life that, some situations in your life may be going on right now. Like, God, how is this going to come out good? The Bible clearly states all things work together for the good. To who? To the called. Thank you, Lord, for the situation that I'm in right now. Because no matter what it is, no matter what I see in the physical, no matter how I feel in the physical, no matter what's happening to me, no matter what is happening to my friends, to my family members, to my finances, if I'm following after you and I'm seeking you and I'm putting you first, all things, we have that promise today, all things are going to work out for the good. God's got a purpose and a plan in your life. And all He's asking from us is to trust Him to put him first. And then all these things will be added if we seek him first. Put our trust in him. The only way to find lasting peace is through an intimate connection with Jesus Christ. There are times and situations that God puts us through that literally drive us to our knees. God knows how important that close relationship is. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we get too busy for prayer. Sometimes we get too busy to read His Word. Sometimes we get too busy to have that communion, that communication with God, that time spent, that quality time spent with God. And sometimes God has to put us in situations because we are human beings and we get distracted with life and the things around us. And sometimes God just takes everything away and we slip on a little bit of ice in the basement. And then we're laid up in bed for going on 4 months with nothing else to do but spend time with God. God has a way. Not saying that that is why my wife is in bed, but I'm just saying God has a way in situations in our life to drive us to our knees, to get us back to where we need to be. And so that we understand that God is sovereign, God is in complete control, and I have put my trust in my job, or I've put my trust in my family, I've put my trust in my parents, and that's not where it needs to be. It needs to be in God, because He is in complete control. Hallelujah. Jesus informed His disciples, yet a little while, this is John 14, 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Judas, not Iscariot, and the others must have experienced profound disappointment that Jesus was talking about leaving. But our ideas of what you were supposed to come and do have not yet been fulfilled. You're supposed to kick the Romans out, set up our own rule here and bring peace to our nation and all of these things. And not everybody has heard about you yet. No one, not everybody has seen all of the great works and the miracles. And you're leaving? What would become of their dreams of what they thought Jesus was going to do? You ever thought that way? But what about my plans, God? What about what I wanted to see accomplished in my ministry and in my outreach efforts? What about? God is sovereign. God is in complete control. In every situation, it seems like God has to remind us, I'm in control here. It is my will that must be accomplished, not your will. When Jesus prayed, what did He pray? Not my will, but thine be done. As an example for you and I, guess what? We need to pray the same prayer. Not my will, but thine be done. If I want to live in peace, I don't want my will to be accomplished. My will never bring peace. God's will bring peace into your life. In John 14:22, Lord, this is also Judas's question again. They said, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And I'm not quite getting why you're just showing yourself to us and leaving everybody else out. Jesus wanted to know why Jesus had revealed His true identity to the smaller inner circle only, while allowing the larger world to remain in the dark. In Jesus' answer, we see Him gently redirect. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And you're like, wow, that doesn't answer the question. It seems like Jesus was telling Judas and the others present what would be important in the future would be whether they obeyed him, whether they loved him, and whether they had a relationship with him, not about which nation held political power in Palestine. They were concerned about the present, about the world that they were living in. And we do get wrapped up in the world that we're living in. Amen. We enjoy politics for a few days every 4 years. The rest of the time, we try to ignore it because it's just chaos. And oh, we're going to try to do this. Nope, that failed. Okay, we're going to try to do this. No, we can't get together on that. Okay, let's try to do this over here. No, that's not working. That just gets frustrating. Who wants to watch that? Right? But we get concerned with the things of this world, and God is trying to redirect. Okay, I'm going to answer your question, but I'm going to answer it in the way that you really need to look at life, and you need to obey me, you need to love me, you need to have a relationship with me. You need to not worry about what's going on around you. If you want to have peace in your life, do these things. Obey him, love him, and have a relationship with him. Amen? That's what we need to focus on. He was informing them, you're looking for peace in the wrong location. List some things today of things or areas or things in this life that people seek after peace. Money. That's a good one. They look for peace in relationships, absolutely. Only so-and-so can satisfy my soul. Only Sally, no, can satisfy my soul. No, that's not how the song goes. Only Jesus can satisfy my soul. What other things do people seek for and try to find peace? There are people that have, no matter if they grew up here or they're brought here, there are people that live in Alaska today that are not at peace with Alaska. It's too cold. It's too much snow. It's Alaska. You knew that when you came here. Praise God. Find peace in it. Praise God. Yes, people try to put their trust in money and in relationships and in their job or whatever it might be, in the location. We need to find the perfect place to live, because the perfect place to live, I'm going to have peace there. As long as I'm on the ocean, or if I'm by the crashing waves, there's going to be peace and tranquility in my life. No, because chaos is going to follow you, and without Jesus in your life, you will not have peace. No matter how beautiful the sunsets are there, you will not have peace. Brother Glover. Right. 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 Exactly. And that, I think that's what we get distracted by, the circumstance or the affliction or whatever it might be. We get distracted by that, and it can become an offense in our life. And Jesus almost ignored that in his response to them, because he wanted them to see the base of this whole thing. What's going to need to happen in your life is that you love me and that you serve me, you obey me, and have a relationship with me. All these other things, it's just distraction in life. And we do need, praise God, I need to be, he chastises those he loves. And so when I get chastised, thank you, Jesus. You just once again proved your love toward me. You love me enough that when I step out of line or when I try to do something on my own, when I don't rely on you and you have to chastise me, you've shown me once again that you love me. And it draw everything should draw us closer to God. All of our afflictions, all of the chastising, all of the situations in life, the chaos around us should drive us closer to God, because he is the only true peace in this life. Hallelujah. Praise God. We can have peace not because everything is right in our world now, but because we trust that God is in control and that he will make all things right in the end. Amen. It's not about right now. It's not about right here. It's not about the situation you find yourself in. Do you believe that God is in control? God is in control. And he will make all things right in the end. Hallelujah. Our job is to trust him. In our text, Jesus worked to assure his disciples that their security and well-being were not dependent upon his continued bodily presence on the earth. Jesus explained that it would be necessary for him to go away, but he would not leave them alone. Right? John 14, 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. In this promise, Jesus was reminding them that while he would be bodily absent, the Holy Spirit would be their constant companion in the future. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful for the Spirit of God dwelling in you? Hallelujah. Peace is a promised gift from God. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. So thankful that he doesn't just give it, take it away, give it. Oh, they're being good now. I like them today. I'm going to give them a little bit of peace. No, no, no. Not as the world gives to you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give you peace. You're going to be able to live in peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were created to love God, to worship God, and we will never be content with anything else. Doubtless, this godly peace can be contrasted with the temporary distractions and pleasures of sin, but ultimately fail to satisfy one's need for God. Jesus lived, and John wrote his gospel during the period of Pax Romana, Roman peace. Y'all thought I was smart there for just a second. Amen. Wipe that from your memory. Roman peace, in which Rome was the largely undisputed political authority in the entire Mediterranean world. Rome's emperors were proud of the peace they maintained throughout the empire. This so-called peace was both bloody and costly. They preserved peace by a constant preparation for war. That sounds like peace to me. In short, the disciples and everyone else living in the Roman Empire were used to thinking of peace as something enforced and maintained by military might. So it was only natural that they expected their Messiah to establish the promised peace by overthrowing the Gentile political kingdoms. Okay, Jesus, time to set up your kingdom right here. Wipe them out. Get rid of them. Enforce by power. They missed it. They missed it. In John 14, 27, however, Jesus was explaining that the peace he brought was of a completely different sort than that proclaimed by Rome. Jesus would certainly give the disciples peace, but the Roman Empire would still be around for quite some time. And even after Rome's fall, Christians would face the oppression of other political and religious powers through the coming years. John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Okay, you're going to have trouble. Things aren't always going to go good. You're going to struggle through some situations in life. You're going to go through some chaos. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Right? And why does he say we can be of good cheer? He answers that at the very end of that verse. He says, "I have overcome the world." Our peace is in him. If we trust him, if he was able to overcome the world, just like he was able to overcome death, we no longer need to fear death. He's overcame the world, so we don't have to fear being or succumbing to the things and the pressures of this world. We can overcome the world. Hallelujah. So today we can be of good cheer. In me, ye might have peace. In him. In him. Hallelujah. We need to be in him. Everybody say, in him. All right. And I am almost done. In the early church period, the apostles were willing to face persecution, imprisonment, and death without fear because they served a risen Lord who had demonstrated his absolute dominion over death itself. If Jesus was able to have dominion over death, why should we fear death? We can go through anything in this life if we are in him. If our Lord has defeated death, what else can threaten us? If Jesus, our Lord, has conquered death, then we can rest assured death will not hold us captive either. It is with this trust in mind that Paul exclaimed in 1 Corinthians 15:55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thankfully, Jesus established much more than just another human kingdom. He founded an everlasting kingdom through which all humanity can experience redemption and transformation. In this spiritual kingdom, a transcendent peace is available to all. That just means that it is above anything that can possibly come against us. We do not have to go through the situations in this life without peace. His peace is above all of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His peace is not bogged down by our Facebook feed. It's not slowed down in any way by the news that is broadcast. His peace transcends all of that. And we can live in that peace. Isaiah 9 calls him the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 14:7-4, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy." Where? In the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14:27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." These words represented a formidable change for the disciples. Jesus' arrest, trial, and violent crucifixion were close at hand. How are they going to live through these events without worry and fear? we all know the story and the things that they went through. Peter is mentioned as failing in that situation, but the other ones are just absent from narration. Where were they? You know, we throw all the blame on Peter. Well, Peter failed. Where was the rest of them? Why weren't they involved in this? You know, at least Peter was standing around the fire, at least having communication with people, still trying to see what was going on, being there. Peter had declared, "I will lay down my life for thy sake," and failed. It is easy to criticize the disciples for their lack of faith, but we can easily fall prey to the same temptation when we fail to trust God completely. The adverse circumstances of life will rob us of our peace. But Jesus' resurrection reminds us that even when circumstances look hopeless, God is still in complete control. Isaiah 26 and 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we stand today, this is a peace today that passes all understanding. But God, I don't understand how your peace can be in the midst of this chaos. Well, it's beyond understanding. So you don't have to understand it. You just need to trust. You just need to trust. As a little child, and you don't understand gravity, and you jump off a ledge, and your parents catch you, you don't question the laws of physics or the strength of your parents' arms. You leap off of that ledge and you are caught. Passes under. They don't understand that. They just know without any doubt. They are assured, my dad's going to catch me. Trust. It's a peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We often find ourselves in stormy situations in which our faith is tested. And I'm thankful for those times. I need my faith tested. Anybody else need their faith tested from time to time? I'm glad that the Lord trusts me enough to put me in situations. Praise God. Our challenge is to hold on to our faith in God and trust His ability to keep us secure. Nothing the world can throw at us is greater than the one who has overcome the world. Hallelujah. Today as we go to prayer, there is a God that we serve today who is greater than every sickness. He is greater than every disease. He is greater than every problem, every situation that is represented here today. He is greater than all of those things. And we serve Him and we trust Him with all of these prayer requests today. Amen. We need to continue to pray for Sister Annette. We need to continue to pray for Sister Esther today. Amen. We need to continue to pray for Sister Holly today. And Brother Cliff, good to see you here today. Praise God. Amen. We need to continue to lift up Norm and Belinda Heiler. They're traveling home from the funeral, and that God would continue to give peace in that situation. In Jesus' name, we need to pray for Georgina today, diagnosed with cancer. We serve a God that can heal. Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. As we bring these needs before the Lord today, just lift up your voices with me in Jesus' name. God, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. God, we know, Lord, today you are a healer, God. We know, Lord Jesus, you have healed time and time again. Hallelujah. You have moved in situations where we didn't understand how you were.